What's up, RotoViz listeners? It's Colm Kelly here, executive producer of RotoViz Radio and one of the co-hosts of the RotoViz Overtime podcast. I just wanted to drop by and say thank you, as always, for listening into another RotoViz Radio production. As a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a RotoViz NFL pass right now at rotoviz.com/podcast or by simply adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. That'll get you access to all of the content and tools on the RotoViz website, the best tools and content in the business for the best listeners in the business. As always, we do appreciate you listening to each and every show. And if you do have 5, 10, 15 seconds to spare, please drop a rating for today's show on your favorite podcast app. It is much appreciated. With all that said, thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you have a great day. Now let's get back to the show.
Breaks a tackle, watch out! Burst of speed! Look at this freshman!
Welcome to the home of professional football, Canton, Ohio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the College to Canton podcast, the perfect show for any and every college football and NFL fan. I'm your host, Travis May, and if you're joining us for the first time, College to Canton is a show where we talk about everything from college football recruiting to in-season college and NFL breakdowns to NFL draft coverage, all the way to discussions as to who should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we always talk about some fantasy football since this is a RotoViz Radio podcast, but we always make sure to dive into some real college football and NFL analysis too. And if you haven't been paying attention to the NFL, you might not know that NFL free agency is about to kick off. But if you have been, you've probably been paying attention to a few of the big names who have been getting re-signed on big deals or franchise tagged, as the deadline to use the franchise tag for the NFL has just come and gone. So we're going to dive into some names that have just been re-signed here recently, talking about where they might head and where their stock might rise or fall in the coming season and beyond. And then take a look at some of the other upcoming free agents as well. Just really take a good look at NFL free agency and what could happen in the next few weeks. Because for those of you that like to play Dynasty Fantasy Football, right now is kind of like your last opportunity to kind of pounce on some of these guys before their price in Fantasy Football League skyrockets or plummets. So hopefully we can help you sift through this mess before all the names start dropping and the contract numbers start coming out and everything changes in a week from now. So give you a couple names that we're believing in long term still that can help you win your fantasy football leagues or make your real life football team better here shortly. And to help me do that, I'm joined by longtime friend Justin McCasland at Macklin J on Twitter. If you haven't really been following me for that long, he was a co-host of mine on the Dynasty Live podcast back when, I don't know, 2015, 2016, all the way through like 2019, I guess we were still podcasting then. But most recently, he was a part of the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast and, of course, contributed a long time at the Fantasy Authority. And he also ran a very slow 40 time at the 2019 NFL Draft here with me. We embarrassed ourselves, and that was a great time. But glad to have you on the show, Justin. You've been doing all right?
Thanks, man. Yeah, doing a whole lot better since that 40 time.
You recovered. I can
honestly say that I'm faster now. I've been working out. You know, one of those, you turn 30 and you figure out, hey, I'm really, really out of shape. I should probably do something about that. But I still wouldn't qualify for anything better than one of the worst tight ends. Like, still just going to be a slow 40 time. Yeah. Once you get up there, kind of disillusioned as to how fast you think you might run, and then you do it, and you're like, nope, these guys are professionals. There's a reason.
There's a difference. And it was funny. I mean, like back, it was the Nashville 2019 NFL draft, and you came and visited, and we, you know, they had stations where you could do a bunch of different physical tasks, and there was not one single person that I saw that like broke a 4.8. Like, you know, like nobody was getting down there. Like, even breaking 5 seconds, just, on top of it, people were running in bad shoes and jeans and had just eaten like chili dogs and Cokes. And wipeouts and slippery surface. But yeah, that was a good time. But that was actually the last time we saw each other in person. But glad to see your face again. Talk some football here. Jump into NFL free agency talk and some dynasty value discussion, because that's what we did for a few years on the Dynasty Live podcast, is really talk a lot about player values and just how dynasty nerdy fantasy football fit into our lives. But one thing, for those of you who've listened to any show where Justin has been a part of it, The Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys tend to come up. And so, you know, I think it's appropriate now that we just dive in there first and talk about the most recent news with Dak Prescott, you know, getting re-signed on a deal that I guess could be worth, I believe it's up to $160 million with the Dallas Cowboys. And as a Cowboys fan and somebody who roots for Dak, what do you think about that contract?
Man, I'm glad you put it that way, because those two really were going hand in hand with this. The Cowboys, they've needed to do this for a while, and I'm pretty sure they could have gotten this exact same deal done last year, and they just chose to wait. Maybe we'll find out why, but Dak got what he wanted, and it's exactly what the Cowboys needed to do. They really lucked into Dak in the first place. They had wanted some pick. much worse quarterbacks ahead of him that aren't even in the league anymore. So the fact that it was even a question to get him paid, it makes me question their decision-making skills, but we'll find out more about that as the rest of free agency and the draft roll out. I'm more hopeful for this season just because that huge question, you know, franchise quarterback is obviously the number one thing you need to make a team work. And the fact that they got that deal done, paid him the largest signing bonus in NFL history, which $66 million right up front, and he's going to get $75 million in that first year. So
yeah, huge.
It's awesome. It's great. It's good for him. I think he deserves it. He's shown that he is a difference maker for the team. Just the fact that it took Andy Dalton almost the entire rest of the season to even get to his passing yards. I mean, he was a passing yards leader across the NFL for many weeks after he had gotten hurt this year. So he was on a tear, and I'm really looking forward to see what he can do with Cooper and CD and my man Gallup.
Yeah. And what's funny is, like, when you would, looking back on his 2020 pace, I don't know how many posts I saw about Dak Prescott's 2020 pace and, like, mm-hmm. what he was on pace to do had he stayed healthy. It was absurd. Like, I mean, and a lot of it was just volume heavy too. So, I mean, he was through five games. I mean, not even five full games. He had 222 pass attempts, which is just insane. Like, that is not normal volume. Like, if you, like, put his numbers into any kind of predictive model and you know, looked at what he was doing in terms of, like, expected outcomes, like, he was actually number one in, you know, fantasy points per game, but also he was number one in expected fantasy points per game, and he was actually, like, ninth in fantasy points over expectation. So he was actually not even, like, given the volume that he was, you know, dealing with and just tossing the rock, like, 50 times a game. Like, he was actually kind of underperforming on, like, a yardage, from a yardage standpoint there. But he just, what he was putting up was insane. I think he's, what do you think, top five, top seven type quarterback still in this league?
He makes that kind of a difference for the team. He's got one of the best surrounding casts for him on offense. I mean, obviously the offensive line is not what it once was, as evidenced by his injury and the rest of the, you know, struggles they had this year. But I think that they can address that in the draft.
Yeah.
And
really, I mean, they're getting Smith and Collins back healthy now. So if they keep it intact, he's got maybe the best trio of wide receivers in the league right now with Cooper, Lamb and Gallup, you know, all still there under contract. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really good situation for him to be again, you know, right back where he left off. He had, in his past 20 healthy games, he's had 13 quarterback one games. That is top 12 fantasy output type games. So really, really consistent. I mean, he had one game in that entire stretch of healthy games where he wasn't at least a quarterback two. So he had basically one really bad game, five, six okay games, and then, you know, 13 monster performances. Like two games last year, he actually had over 40 fantasy points. So if I have him in Dynasty, I'm holding on, and it's probably too late now to buy low at all, just because of any ambiguity about where he was going to end up or what was going to happen is gone. But if you are looking at, you know, just potential outcomes with the rest of his career, what he's done already is insane. But right now, fresh off a contract, would you actually consider moving off of Dak Prescott in, like, especially like a super flex or two quarterback league, just knowing, hey, the hype of he just got paid, everybody's Googling his stats, like, looking up, hey, should I, you know, they're thinking about Dak Prescott right now. So, but right before all this other hype happens with everyone else getting signed, even, you know, put your Cowboy fandom aside for a second, yeah, if you yeah. can, would you consider moving? Because this might be the peak moment of Dak's entire career to get the most value in return in a trade for fantasy football purposes right now.
I think everything is situation dependent on each team. I think that if you have, especially in Superflex, because quarterbacks are a commodity and they're a rare commodity. And so if you have Dak and you made it through last season, say you made the playoffs despite not having Dak last year, yeah. and you hit it, you drafted Justin Herbert and you already had Aaron Rodgers or you had Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
and
in a good spot. Yeah,
you have a blessing and, you know, someone comes across and wants to pay for him at his peak. Sure. Like, I wouldn't be, you know, as apt to do it. But if I was, if I had an abundance of riches, this is the best time at hype, which is, I mean, you want to look at the rest of the free agents and the people getting franchise tags. If their name's in the news in this dull time of the year where guys that are out there hungry for trades, they're going to be paying pretty big right now. It's just one of those things, though. He's still young enough. He's proven that he can produce. And he strikes me as a guy that's just going to continually produce top seasons, top 10, top 12 seasons in fantasy and be like a Matt Ryan, where we're still talking about him way down the road and he's still putting up really good years. And he's going to have these receivers that, you know, I think we'll be talking about him and CD in 4 years, and depending on what they do after his contract expires. But we'll be talking about him and CD the way we talk about Matt Ryan and Julio Jones.
Wow, that's some lofty praise, but, you know, maybe slightly biased coming from a little Cowboys bit, fan.
But I don't mean like as to what the stats are for Julio. Julio's in a league of his own.
No, but I think they could both have tandem, that longevity for sure.
Those two together, yes.
Absolutely. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do at the tight end position. If they muddy that up in the draft and go get another tight end to kind of fill out that entire just ridiculously top tier offense across the board. I'm hoping they don't. As somebody who still likes, CeeDee Lamb producing solid numbers, Amari Cooper, you know, giving me like his 3 wide receiver 1 weeks an entire year, that kind of thing. But moving on to a couple other guys that just saw their names get tendered here with the franchise tag, Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson. And it's funny, I think right around the time we were starting the Dynasty Life podcast, those were guys that we were talking about and talking about them breaking out way back then in completely different situations now. I mean, who knew we'd be talking about Chris Godwin coming off of a Super Bowl and getting thrown to by Tom Brady. And then Allen Robinson, no longer with Blake Bortles, but, you know, getting thrown passes by, you know, Mitchell Trubisky or whoever the heck he's going to get thrown, whoever the heck is going to throw him the ball this year. But with either of those guys, who are you? I mean, obviously there is an age gap, but who are you most excited about moving into the 2021 season and beyond for fantasy football purposes?
Age agnostic and dynasty value agnostic, it's still Chris Godwin. His situation's still better. I mean, Allen Robinson, question marks at quarterback. That's been his career. However, he just came off 2 really sharp seasons. And I think that, you know, that just might show my lack of connection to things anymore in the sense of stats. Like, I know which players are doing good and I know Allen Robinson's been doing well, but a stat that popped up to me today is that he's one of only 2 receivers in the last 2 seasons that's had at least 95 receptions and 1,000 receiving yards. And the other one's DeAndre Hopkins. And as much as I'm saying that I'm more excited about Chris Godwin than Allen Robinson, I don't think there's a huge difference here in what we're expecting in production moving forward, because Chris Godwin is just, he's electric on the field. He's shown a connection with Tom Brady, which I cannot believe we're still saying that. yeah. But he's the safer of the two options, I feel like, in the sense of what's going to happen. But if Chicago does something crazy and gets a quarterback that's stable and producing, Allen Robinson's just going to explode. But I think that man deserves a contract. And, you know, he can tell he's not happy to be franchise tagged. And that kind of makes me nervous, because the players are really getting kind of bold in how they handle this thing. And the last thing I want to see is him like sit out a season. That's not worked well for other players in the past, it seems like. but you can't go wrong between them. In Dynasty, now's not the time to buy. And just like with Dak, if you're going to sell, sell now on the hype. This is just the best time to be able to sell if you have plans to sell.
Yeah,
I would be selling Allen Robinson if I had him somewhere just because it's just hype. It's just the perfect time of the year for it.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you look at his age, you know, he's around the typical apex of production. So you got to think that perhaps if he follows the typical line of kind of trailing off eventually, it's not like he's ancient or anything. But, you know, he is going to be, I guess, 28 right before the year begins. And so right now he's probably going to give us two or three good, really good more seasons if he has somebody other than Bortles, you know, that level of quarterback play tossing the ball. And he's just put up with the worst quarterbacks ever. It's just terrible. But let's see what happens there. You know, maybe it's a hot rookie. Who knows what happens there with the Bears. But for me, I actually, even in Dynasty, just – I don't know. It feels weird to say, but even like straight up, just because of how dominant A-Rob has been and what he is going to garner there as far as target share. If he, you know, if he actually stops complaining, he might actually, you know, still get the same target share. I mean, if you look at his numbers last year and even the year before, he was a wide receiver one in terms of opportunity and production in both years. But he was third in the league in targets last year, fourth in receptions, eighth in receiving yards. And yes, he was a little bit lower in terms of total touchdowns at the position. But even like if you want to split up and just get into more of an analytical approach, if his like weighted opportunity was 14th and his air yards were 8th, like across the board, man, he was the opportunity was there. And in terms of how he converted on that, it just, you know, it didn't show up. Like he wasn't an elite top end. Like he was like what, a wide receiver 9 or something like that. He wasn't like a wide receiver 1. Had he seen more touchdowns, he could have been in that like wide receiver, you know, 3, 4, 5 type of range. But he did still have 5 wide receiver 1 weeks this past season. And Chris Godwin, on the other hand, only had 2. Now, he did end on a high note, week 17, but that didn't really count for anybody's fantasy production unless you play in a league that still uses week 17. And he's going to be still splitting some work with Mike Evans. So that's always interesting because I think that probably puts a cap on his targets. He's not going to be a 150 target type player. And so for me, it's like, man, I really like the talent of both these players, but I think I'm more excited about the upside of Allen Robinson, especially if he can get any quarterback play at all. Yeah. So we'll see between those guys, but hope they both still earn one more like long-term deal. Cause they both deserve it.
I agree. And having this conversation just really opens my eyes to how much dynasty bias I have, where everything is like, oh, age. Oh, yeah, this is the hot player.
I mean,
this
that's real, though. Player. That's absolutely real.
And like looking at the two of them, Allen Robinson's 37 overall in dynasty rankings and Chris Godwin's 28 overall. I mean, so there's not a big gap there. But I mean, he's the cheaper play for better production.
Yep.
It's just a matter of what your window is. And I think that's something to keep in mind with Dynasty is what kind of window you have to win. And so it's absolutely just team makeup makes a big difference.
Yeah. And really what both of these guys have done on a per year basis has just been incredible. I mean, Allen Robinson, obviously he missed almost all of 2017. But if you look at his numbers and yards per year, he's almost exactly 1,000 yards per season. And the number of guys that actually have maintained that elite level of production is actually really, it's a really short list. Before this past season, even guys like Devontae Adams weren't on that list of guys that averaged every single year having over 1,000 yards per season. It's a really, really short list. I think he's still on a trajectory, if he can get some decent quarterback play, that he could, you know, if he sticks around until he's, you know, early 30s, like a few of these really good perennial stars have, he could be in the Hall of Fame discussion in a matter of probably 3-4 seasons. I'm rooting for him because we've been waiting since even like when he was in Penn State and we were talking about how good he was back then. Yep. So I'm still waiting because he didn't have a quarterback even in college. So maybe we'll always
just be one of those guys that we always talk about. Like, can you believe that he consistently put up these numbers and he never had a decent quarterback?
That's what's going to go on his plaque. Like when he's up for Hall of Fame, it's like he had to deal with this guy and that guy and this guy and still And so, yeah, that's going to be funny when we get to the end of his career and he still never had a quarterback. But moving away from the wide receivers, because we've talked about Dak, quarterback, talked about some wide receivers. Let's talk about some running backs that are going into free agency right now. Obviously, some big names. Aaron Jones, Chris Carson looks like he's not going to, he was just, I think that just came out today that they were not going to re-sign him to a long-term deal. And, you know, Kenyon Drake, you know, James Conner, we don't know what's going to happen there. Leonard Fournette, we don't know what's going to happen there. A lot of the, you know, big name guys that have put up pretty decent numbers and have had a running back one season, or at least per, like points per game season here recently. So what are you doing with those guys? Like, who is your number one target right now for fantasy football that you believe in and that they're still going to stick and they're still going to produce at an elite level?
I mean, team agnostic with these guys, just assuming that they don't wind up back with their team. Aaron Jones is the talent that I like the most. I think that of the five of those that you mentioned, he's the guy that seems to be the most electric, that's put up the seasons that prove he's worth the money. And so it really just depends on landing spot. And if you can get a discount on him or any of them, really, it's better to buy them now when their landing spot's not known than it is to after, because that's when the hype starts. But new landing spots with running backs make me nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. Historically, I mean, there's been, you know, it's a mixed bag of success at best there.
I mean, your best bet with running backs is to get them on their first contract. And the ones that hit afterwards, they're the exception. They're not the rule. And so this is where I definitely lean on talent versus anything else. This is also a situation where there's kind of an abundance of riches with a low cost. So running backs, a lot of time, plug and play. I mean, we kind of saw that with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, like whoever was in the game and was, air quotes, the hot hand, you know, had a decent game. And that's a lot of times where free agents wind up is muddied backfields where they just get to be another guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully we don't see a bunch more of that. I think just because of how shallow this rookie crop is in terms of truly proven feature backs, I wherever these guys go, I'd say that all the five guys we named with, you know, Aaron Jones, and Kenyon Drake and James Conner, Chris Carson, even Leonard Fournette, wherever they go, there's a good shot that they will out-touch whatever rookie that comes in besides like maybe Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, and Javonte Williams. Outside of those guys, I'd say that I'd bet on any of those five to outproduce them at least this year if they have to battle any of the incoming rookies. And I'd say all of them have potential to be a 1A still in a really good backfield. Still, and Aaron Jones specifically is my guy too. I mean, if you look at his most recent production, he is far and away, by far, the most productive and the best back, having almost, 570-ish fantasy points in the last two seasons. Like, he was, the number two overall running back and then number five overall running back, just consistently contributing in all facets of the game. And I'm rooting for him more than anybody. I remember when he came in as a rookie, I was really high on him even back then. I wrote, you know, even I guess it was one of my early pieces for Dynasty League Football about him being the rookie steal of the draft. You know, coming out of UTEP, nobody thought, oh, this guy's going to be a star, because UTEP is a terrible college program. But he just absolutely starred and beasted in college. And I'm really rooting for him now more than anything, just so he can get paid, because he didn't get crazy draft capital. So it's not like he's already kind of made all the money that he needs to make. So I hope he gets a situation where a team actually finally gets him his due, because he deserves it more than any of the guys else, any of the other guys at the running back position. But beyond Aaron Jones, who would you bet on to have success out of this crew?
Probably Kenyon Drake afterwards. He showed up in Arizona and did pretty well. There again, it's kind of a toss-up between him and Chris Carson. He's perennially underrated, but that may just be a situation-based thing with Seattle. That's the question on those guys. I'm not as sold on their talent as I am Aaron Jones to just be able to plug and play. But I guess Kenyon Drake has proven it by moving from the Dolphins to Arizona.
Yeah, and he's so, one of those times, those rare situations where it's actually worked out and they've just said, hey, here's some workload. And he wasn't obviously, I mean, a lot of people will knock him because he wasn't the most efficient back with the work that he was given. But even still, like he still produced. And so if he is given the opportunity, he can. But if you want to look at bad efficiency, his 2020 numbers, he was 172nd. In fantasy points over expected. So given the opportunity, he definitely did not exceed expectations there. But we'll see what happens because I still believe in his athleticism and in his ability to contribute in all facets of the game. I think that's really important to not be just limited to early down work. Speaking of, before we get away from running backs, you know, with Aaron Jones most likely almost 100% departing at this point from the Packers, A.J. Dillon, you know, in college and really even early NFL career, he looks like he hasn't quite figured out how to produce as a monster receiver just yet. So are you believing in Aaron A.J. Dillon? Just, you know, he's going to take everything. He's going to be the feature work guy that we can trust and we can roster as a running back one next year. Are you really apprehensive?
I'm fairly apprehensive. And part of that's because Green Bay seems to be interested in signing Aaron Jones back. And I'm not sure the logistics on that, except for maybe just structure versus the franchise tag. But that doesn't make me feel like they're like all in on A.J. Dillon when they're still talking about that. A lot of times it's like, go get paid. You know, we want you to go get paid. And in this instance, they're like, oh, we still want to get something done by next week. And so I don't know. There's just talk of that that makes me a little bit hesitant on A.J. Dillon, not to mention the fact that there's no way they run into this season with just A.J. Dillon as their guy. Yeah. And so it also gives me that indication that they're coming into the draft with the idea of, okay, we're going to give Aaron Rodgers what he wants. He wants weapons. Yeah. And that's also, it kind of confuses me as to why they didn't sign Aaron Jones back, because I know that Aaron Rodgers really liked him. And it seemed to be like, if you're in Aaron Rodgers' circle, you're good.
It's like you're good to go. So let's hope that's the case. But I with him not getting franchise tagged and the buzz lately, it seems like he's maybe gone. But, you know, with Jamal Williams also being a free agent during this time, you know, it's, if they have the option to bring back the cheaper of the two, even though Jamal Williams is absolutely terrible, who knows what they'll do just from a financial point of view. But yeah, A.J. Dillon,
cap's going to cause some casualties like this. This is with it going down this year, and it's just going to be a bad year.
Yeah.
We're going to see some guys, and odds are we're going to see one of these five guys sit a while and not get signed. And I'm kind of curious as to if there was one of them that you thought was going that was going to happen to, that we see them being like the last guy, the last of the big guys signed. Which would you peg for that?
You know, it's funny, but like, despite Leonard Fournette being like a Super Bowl champion and everything, like I think he could be one of those guys. Because I mean, I think if you look at his efficiency and his consistency at any point of his career, he's been a very volume driven guy for the most part. And even at LSU, that was kind of what he was outside of one season. So yeah, for me, he might be the surprising guy that is not immediately in the first week, you know, with a new team and a new situation and have everything figured out. And so, you know, hopefully it's not like a Devontae Freeman situation. I doubt it's like that, where he's just left out completely all the way till the beginning of the season. But still, I think he could be one that surprises out of the bigger names, like how he's done, what he's done to this point, wear and tear. There's an argument to be made that the other four guys are probably better. If not, you know, maybe one of the other cheap guys, like even like Duke Johnson's probably going to be cheap. Marlon Mack is probably going to be cheap. Like other guys that can fill a role are going to find a new home pretty quickly because they're not going to stand on their high horse and demand a whole bunch of money. You know, even older guys like Mark Ingram might be humble enough to take a kind of a cheaper deal too. And if we're playing contract musical chairs, Fournette might get left out. Before we talk tight ends and talk some more wide receivers, maybe a couple quarterbacks, and then wrap things up, just a word from our sponsors.
Hey, RotoViz radio listeners, this is Curtis Patrick, and two of my favorite simple pleasures in life are good whiskey and sleeping on really nice bedding. Where do I get mine? Brooklinen. Most of us are going to spend 30 to 35% of our adult lives in bed. It's just not the place to cut corners. Well, my people Rich and Vicky over at Brooklinen, they work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and your tastes. They're so confident you're going to love their products. They even offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. And Brooklinen is so much more than sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear. I've got the graphite window pane collection, and my wife absolutely loves it. All their stuff looks great. You can order anything, and it's going to make you and everyone else in your house happy. Having a clean, fresh bedroom set, it's just one simple thing you can do to start and end your day like a champ. Go to brooklinen.com and use our promo code ROTOVIZ. You're going to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code ROTOVIZ for $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. brooklinen.com, promo code ROTOVIZ, and check it out.
All right, so we've talked about some of the guys, big names who've already been signed, some of the running backs who could be signed here soon, maybe, you know, even a couple of names that are still there on those teams that they're potentially departing. But I want to head over to tight end, just talk about a couple guys, because there's not, it's not immensely exciting a tight end group to talk about in terms of free agency. I guess if we still believe in a couple of these guys, it might be. But as far as free agency goes, I mean, yes, Kyle Rudolph got cut. I'm not really interested in him for fantasy football purposes, and I think he's kind of on the downward spiral of back half of his quarter of his career. But there are, you know, a couple other big names that people would know that are out on the block here. Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Rob Gronkowski. Three bigger names at the tight end position that are still out there to be signed. Do you think Rob Gronkowski just gets brought back for one more victory lap, or what do you want to see with that situation?
Gronk's going nowhere. Like, yeah. Why in the world would they bring him back, have a Super Bowl, and then be like, go ahead and you go be a free agent again?
Yeah.
Nah, like, that dude signed in a veteran minimum or something. Like, Tom Brady will pay him out of pocket. Like, he's going to be back with Tom Brady. I don't see Gronk playing in the NFL if it's not with Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't either. I just had to ask. Like, I don't know I actually believe the whole thing where they tried to move him. I don't know if you remember the story when he was talking about in an interview, talked about like how they were going to move him to the Lions, and he was like, "Nah, I'm just going to retire." Like, I feel like
I don't think so either, because it's just one of those, like, I can't imagine that Tom Brady wasn't the main reason. Yeah. Like, in the office with the GM being like, "Hey, get him back for me. I want him back."
Yeah, I think so too. I think Gronk probably goes back. But the other two guys, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, are you really excited about either one of those guys? Because Hunter Henry, he's had his injury troubles. Jonnu Smith, the Titans, you know, we thought that they might use him and see his market share expand, and that just didn't really come to fruition. So are you really excited about either one of them?
I really like both of them for their talent as tight ends. I think that they have the potential to get that next contract and have that late tight end career that we see so often happen with these guys. The talent didn't go anywhere. Like you said, injury isn't a concern with Hunter Henry, but with tight ends, that's so par for the course. There's just, it's a brutal position for that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm excited about both of these guys. If I'm in a tight end premium league, I'm all over trying to acquire based on the ambiguity. They're both going to command a little bit in free agency, which it might make it where they sign a little bit later, depending on what the teams decide is worth spending on right now. But I mean, heck, if they could be had for a bargain, I'd be happy with either of them with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think that would be a good landing spot for any tight end. Maybe not for fantasy football purposes, because they're going to share a bunch of market
real
share.
Real football. Yeah, real football purposes.
Yes, absolutely. And one thing about Jonnu is he's still super young. Like, he's still actually 25 years old entering into his second contract. And yes, you know, he had eight touchdowns this past season, and so he finally got some scoring in that department, but he's never had more than 40 receptions. So I think a lot of people that play fantasy football, a lot of people that even just watch football casually, don't understand, you know, how good he could be if he was in an offense that actually went through him, or would actually designate a large chunk of market share to him, or perhaps had a larger passing pie overall. So yes. Jonnu has a bunch of potential, still just 25 years old, has not really struggled with the injury bug to the same extent that Hunter Henry has. And so there's a lot to like with him. On the other hand, with Hunter Henry, I think he, you know, people assume he's going to be the more expensive guy. He's going to be the guy that's, you know, should be worth more and should have a higher ceiling. If you look at his measurables, looks more like a prototypical tight end one with him, with being 6'5", 250. You know, people are going to talk about how he has all this going for him. But Janu, he's actually even slightly thicker and maybe perhaps stronger than Hunter Henry. If you look at him, he's 6'3", but he's also right at 250. He reminds me of Delanie Walker, really. I mean, like when they were playing with each other, and he clearly was taking notes, and they play very similarly. So just like Delanie, I think we could see, you know, going to a good situation, second contract, and be an absolute monster tight end one for years and years to come. So that's the guy for Dynasty that I'm looking at, most intrigued by, to see where he lands. Because if it's in a high-flying offense that has some available market share, he could have his career could just absolutely take off. Because, I mean, like, how many people even remember that Delanie Walker played for the 49ers? Like,
it's like, yeah. Like, I mean, think about, like, Waller, Darren Waller. How many people realize that he played for Baltimore before that?
Yeah, or if, you know, if they hadn't repeated it 1,000 times on national broadcasts that he used to be wide receiver, you know, and all that, you know, people would probably forget that as well. But we see this happen. People get a fresh slate and get their athleticism finally taken advantage of. And I think Janu could be that guy. Could be that guy that comes out of, you know, he was this back end tight end one, or maybe middling tight end two, and then just tight end one 5 years in a row. That kind of ascension. I think that's on the table. I'm just really hoping he gets a decent landing spot with some opportunity. And I'm not sure that's necessarily available, especially with three potentially, you know, round one tight ends coming into the league this year. But I'm really rooting for it with Janu. And I think he's who I'd be targeting out of the three that we've mentioned, just because of how much it would cost to acquire him in most formats and what I believe his ceiling could still become. But moving away from the tight end position, going back to some other wide receivers, because before we saw Godwin and Robinson resign and all that, it looked like this was going to just be a monstrous wide receiver free agent class. And it still has some depth to it. Because if you look at the top end, it's what? Juju Smith-Schuster, Kenny Galladay, Will Fuller, Corey Davis, even whatever Antonio Brown is at this point, and some other interesting names like Sammy Watkins, T.Y. Hilton, Marvin Jones Jr., guys that have been there before, produced in big ways with you know, a fresh situation. They could potentially revitalize the end of their careers at the bottom of that list. But first off, the biggest couple names here, Juju Smith-Schuster and Kenny Galladay. Some people thought Kenny Galladay was going to get the franchise tag. I think most people did. But now that he hasn't, where does he go? Because I think he might be perceived to have the highest ceiling out of any of these guys. So where does Kenny Galladay go that makes sense to you?
I mean, there's not a lot that just makes sense considering cap situations with most teams. But I think the Colts would be a nice fit for him. You know, that would be a spot where he could get in with Wentz and have both of them be new at the same time. They've got some other receivers there, but none of them have really popped. T.Y. Hilton's going to be a free agent, so I think they let him walk, but they're going to want to pair Wentz with another wide receiver one that at least give him the best chance to succeed.
Yeah, I think that's the landing spot I've seen some talk about. But with Hilton departing, that would be an interesting spot for Juju to come in as well. I think either team could slide in there. And Juju, you know, he's come out of this situation where he's not just this big slot, powerful slot guy. He can be outside. But it would be interesting to see what they do there with, you know, Paris Campbell and Michael Pittman. And, you know, they're really young at the position now that T.Y. Hilton has departed. And, you know, if they pulled in Juju Smith-Schuster, they still would be young because Juju is still, what, 24 years old? He's going to be 25, I think, before the beginning of this season starts. But he's on his second contract coming into the league when some players actually just enter the league for the first time. So they could they could really build out for the future and give themselves like a maybe 3-4 years solid window if they can get something out of Carson Wentz. You know, by bringing in somebody like Kenny Galladay or Juju Smith-Schuster, I think that's a great landing spot. I think one of them could, you know, potentially land with the Eagles as they try to kind of reload and get stronger at a position where they just can't seem to catch a break there. That would be another position that I think that they might land there. But Kenny Golladay would probably be the name that, you know, if he lands anywhere, just because of what he has done in big spurts over his career, perhaps is the most expensive to acquire in dynasty circles, especially because of all the expectations we thought he would be, you know, this big franchise tag kind of guy. But, you know, he had that wide receiver 9 overall 2019 season, you know, only played 5 games this past year, but was pacing pretty well and was being efficient. In terms of fantasy points over expected per game, he didn't pop and have like a big wide receiver 1 week, but I think people understand that he has that kind of potential. So if you were going to target any of these guys, just, you know, including price to acquire in dynasty leagues, and age and implied future production, who would you be going after?
I mean, Juju's the top one for me. Like, we talked about him way back in Dynasty Life, how young he was coming into the league. It's just one of those things. We always said he'd be getting his second contract and he'd be this young. And, you know, he had some struggles with moving to the outside. I think fantasy-wise, the slot was better for him. But whenever you're getting more volume, it's always going to be better. So it just really depends on where he lands. But the perfect marriage of talent, age, and then hopefully opportunity, he's going to be the guy I target. Not to mention the fact that he's just a fun player to have and to root for. But another one that could be really sneaky is Corey Davis, depending on where he lands, because he's also kind of one of those shows some pop, but doesn't really get anything. Like, he hasn't put a whole season together where you're like, oh yeah, Corey Davis lived up to production. So he may not be as expensive for a team, but he still has that talent and that potential. And I think he needs some volume.
Oh yeah. And I've always thought that, like, dude, just throw the ball to him more and see what happens. You know, like, please just do something like that. But for me, I think I'm most intrigued by Will Fuller, because the 1 year that he finally plays 16 games is going to be the year that we all just go bonkers. And maybe he never does at this point. But, I mean, if you look at how many games he's played, his best, most healthy season was year one. He played in 14 games. And since then, he hasn't played more than 11. You know, he has these ridiculous ceiling moments. I think, 2 seasons ago? Or maybe just, 2019, just maybe. He had like that 50. King. Yeah, he had like that 50-point game. Or something like that. It was just insane. And even this past year, having 3 big wide receiver 1 games, it's like, that's that potential. That's that. This is why we freak out every time. Every offseason, we're talking about how good Will Fuller could be, because we see that 30-plus point upside one time a year. And you know, a few other weeks, it's like 19, 20, 22, 23, 24 fantasy points 5 other times throughout the year. Just because he does, like you said, score touchdowns like crazy. Like, you know, he might not be way up there in receptions or yards, but last year he was 12th in total touchdowns, even with just playing in 11 games. So all he does is make big plays. And I think a lot of people that have been holding on to Will Fuller all this time are probably just looking for an exit strategy at this point. They're probably looking for, hey, he's going to wherever he's going. He's going to pop with his contract, and then I'm just going to move off of him. And so I'm trying to acquire guys like that now, a week before they get re-signed somewhere, even if it's with the same team. But Will Fuller is intriguing just because his value could pop once again down the stretch, especially as we get into June and July and we talk about all these guys that are going to pop off. And what if Will Fuller plays 16 games? And so even if you're not planning on holding him long term, you could probably turn him for something more in a dynasty league as the season approaches. But I still am a firm believer in his talent and ability to take off the top for defenses. So I'm really hoping he finally stays healthy. But like you said, I think the safer, younger option is Juju Smith-Schuster. Kenny Golladay is actually surprisingly older than you might think. He actually came into the league. He's kind of the exception. Like, we normally like our guys to be super young and productive at an early age, but he was already, I think, like 23, almost 24 when he was drafted. And so he's already going to be 28 this year. That's, you know, not to say that he's dead by any means, but it's funny, like, that his rookie contract is expiring like at the same time as Juju, and they're like 4 years apart. But
it's insane.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things you mentioned about Will Fuller is staying healthy for a whole season. It makes me wonder if maybe getting out of Houston and getting with a training program that maybe takes a little better care of their players would be a benefit to him. I mean, I'd be really interested to see that. It seems like Houston's just a place everybody wants out of. And a change of scenery from there seems to do players pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, Kenny Golladay, even if he does go back to the Lions on some kind of longer contract, he's probably one of the most obvious candidates to get some help too. Like, they're probably going to add somebody else to help Jared Goff. And Jared Goff is somebody who likes to feed multiple wide receivers. I mean, he showed that like he can feed with enough volume, like three wide receivers. Like, we saw it with Kupp and Woods and Brandon Cooks. And so I think he's going to spread the ball around for the Lions. And so that's probably not somebody necessarily that I'm looking to. If I'm looking for somebody whose value is going to grow over the next few months, even with a bigger contract extended with the Lions or something like that, he might have a brief window where he's immensely valued. But then when the Lions draft Devontae Smith in round one, you might see that change just a little bit. But are there any other tier two wide receivers? You mentioned Corey Davis that you would be interested in taking a stab at right before, you know, they get signed by somewhere else.
I think Marvin Jones is a sneaky ad, but really, like, I want nothing to do with Antonio Brown. I want nothing to do with Sammy Watkins. And I'm pretty sure I'm out on T.Y. Hilton. Like, yeah, I guess if you could get them for like, well, if you could get like Hilton for a fourth or Sammy Watkins for a fourth, like, that's worth the risk. But like, I don't want any part of Antonio Brown.
Yeah, which stinks, because like, he was on pace to, you know, easily just coast into the Hall of Fame and then just completely went insane, for lack of a better word there. But yeah, I definitely am going to toot Corey Davis's horn again wherever he lands. And if it's back with the Titans, I still think he can be a productive, you know, depth piece that you can kind of plug in from time to time for fantasy purposes. And I think he's just like a really good long-term pro. Yes, we had these lofty expectations because he was a fifth overall pick, but I think he could just be one of those guys that stays in the league and produces decent numbers, yet not super fantasy viable numbers, into his early 30s, just because he's too good and too well-rounded. Maybe he doesn't have the incredible, crazy wide receiver one upside, but he's just so good at what he's asked to do. So yeah, that's definitely a name I'm still believing in. Any quarterbacks that we haven't dived? I mean, we basically only talked about Dak. The free agent situation is interesting, but you know, with Dak not in the mix, you know, there's some chatter about Russell Wilson being moved. I don't really believe there's any validity to that. But you know, Jameis Winston is still out there. Mitchell Trubisky, Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, we all know Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to get signed somewhere, and he's going to play like four or five games like that. And one of them, he's going to go off for like 40 fantasy points. So
he needs more jerseys. He's got to keep making his way around the league.
Yeah, he hasn't played for all 32 teams yet, so he's going to keep playing for a while.
You know, I still would love to see Jameis Winston get another chance. I think that he's still an interesting player, and you know, he might be the same problem with the picks, you know, but yeah. I'd really be interested to see what he could do with another team. Like, I didn't get to see enough of him in Tampa Bay, and really didn't get to see anything of him in New Orleans.
Yeah,
so
I'd like
to see him get another chance.
We saw him completely transform his body, look like a completely different human being, yeah, and then never even get a shot. And so
he spent time behind Drew Brees. Like, any time you get to like learn from a Hall of Famer, you're going to come out better on the other side.
Yeah. So I hope he gets some kind of shot. But, you know, with the incoming rookie class being what it is, there's still an outside shot that there's six first round quarterbacks selected this year. It's looking more and more like it's five. But if somebody gets super reachy, like last year with Jordan Love, and the Packers, you know, there could be a sixth in Kyle Trask. And so it's not, you know, likely, but I think it's really likely there's at least four or five first round quarterbacks. So that makes the opportunities rather slim for guys that are kind of on the outs.
Guys.
Yeah, like, and Cam Newton, I want him to get back to normal. I don't think he's ever going to get back to full on, you know, 14,000 rushing touchdowns and 25,000 yards on the ground like we saw, you know, just 5-6 years ago. But I want to see him get an opportunity. And Trubisky actually kind of flashed with a couple opportunities. I don't think that he really deserves a huge big contract there to give him another shot. But What are your thoughts on Trubisky?
You know, he kind of reminds me of like Daniel Jones, where it's like, man, they have the potential, but oh, here's the picks and here's the just boneheaded plays, and they'll show flashes, and I think they're good for stopgaps.
Yeah,
you know, where teams aren't going to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they're like, we might catch a run and make the playoffs, but we're going to draft our future quarterback soon.
Yeah, and that's what I see.
Kick you to the curb again.
Sadly, that's a potential outcome for all those guys. I think if I'm buying low and giving anybody one more shot, and the names that we just mentioned, it's probably Cam Newton, but not a ton. I'm way more excited about the rookie class. And what that's going to mean for the quarterback position just moving forward for years to come. Because I think just a couple weeks ago just talked about this class being the best quarterback class of the century. And I firmly believe that to be the case for these guys coming in. But that's about all the time we have for this episode. But Justin, this was so good just to catch up, talk about some free agent players and all these guys. You know, it's funny, like some of these guys you and I have personally been talking about since they've been rookies on podcast together.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, it was fun, man. I really appreciate the opportunity. One of those times where I told you, but I hadn't said it on the pod. This is the first time I've podcasted since I left the Dynasty Happy Hour. So been one of those things where stepped back from podcasting due to life, and it's been good. It happened at the right time, but I'm happy to jump on and do this kind of thing. It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listeners, if you want to check out Justin on Twitter, just a really nice guy. Lots of Cowboys content for you. Maybe some Oklahoma Sooners love mixed in there too. But you can find him at Macland J. That's MacLandJ on Twitter. But Justin, thanks again. And listeners, thank you as always for tuning in. We're going to get back to some rookie talk here soon. And then after kind of all the buzz settles down, we'll get into some NFL free agent talk again with new players and new places. But we are going to talk about some future and returning college players in the coming weeks as well. Probably get around to some more pro day stuff here too. And if you are, we just talked about it being pro day season last week. If you want to check out a place where you can find all the pro day information, one of my most recent works at rotoviz.com is on just pro day results and breaking things down and what it means. Not only offensive players, but defensive players. We'll recirculate that to the front page of RotoViz throughout the next month or so as these players continue to have their pro day, because of course they can't have their NFL combine. So if you want to check that out, you can go to rotoviz.com. You can also find that on my Twitter page. I believe it's my pinned tweet right now. You can find me on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. As always, please do leave a rate and review. It helps the show if you guys are enjoying what you're listening to. But yeah, thanks for joining us for another episode, and I look forward to many more episodes here in the future of the College to Canton podcast.